Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry. Thank you so much for being here today. And I have the privilege and honor of introducing my guest today, William Lee. William graduated from the University of Akron with a degree in engineering. Instead of using his degree, he decided to start his own agency that focuses on lead generation via video marketing. And thank you so much for being here today, Will. It's such a pleasure to have you.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And I would love for you to just really dive into your journey, how you got here today and everything you're up to.
Okay. Wow. All right. Well, how long do you have?
Okay. A couple hours.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect. That's all I need. Okay. So my name is Will. I'm the owner of a video marketing agency called Apex Creatives. But the road to that story is a long one. I started with a degree in engineering. And I quickly realized that, hey, I wanted to have my own business and I wanted to do something that was a little bit more creative, but I still wanted to utilize the skills that I learned in getting that engineering degree, mostly data and analysis with data. I actually really do enjoy that aspect. So I picked up a camera and I got good enough that people wanted to hire me for video content. And I quickly realized that I could be a lot more beneficial and a lot more helpful to these businesses that I was helping if I just created an agency, because a lot of marketing agencies are marketing agencies first, and then they hire out their creative. So a lot of marketing agencies don't tend to have video production. And the result of that is that the client is paying a higher ticket for those agency services because they're in effect not directly hiring that creative. The marketer is, and the business is paying for the upcharge. So by being a production agency first, and a marketer sort of second, we're able to save a lot of cost for our clients while delivering a more effective product. I utilize that data analysis because marketing really is just data analysis. It's looking at what data is working and pivoting if necessary, or really honing in on things that are going correctly.
That's so true. I'm just even thinking it. Like I lack marketing. That's not like my strength at all. But even just talking about the data, understanding too, okay, if there's more views on certain things, that's where the audience is wanting and looking at versus things that are not getting any traction. Might be good content, but that's not what your audience is looking, just from my experiences.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well. Yeah. It's really crazy. It's just like how the space has changed because of TikTok. We've really seen a rise in what's called user-generated content. And it used to be just that, user-generated content. A great classic example of user-generated content is the Coca-Cola campaign that has everyone's name on it. So what people would find is they'd find that Coca-Cola bottle and it says, you know, Will, and they take a selfie with it and they post it on social media. And that's user-generated content. But now with TikTok, we're seeing that people are enjoying more of that user-created content. And it doesn't necessarily need to be someone who has experienced your product. People are just hiring out those creators who tend to make good versions of that content to be able to create user-generated content. So then when you post something on Facebook, you can see that like an ad campaign that tends to be more successful are the ad campaigns that don't look overly produced. They don't look like they have high budget like graphic designers working on it. It just looks like a picture of like a family and like something that's happening. Like if you're in the solar industry, which I know you are, it would be like you like on the roof, like installing it. And, but like just in a very raw format, like someone took the picture on an iPhone. And video can carry over in the same sense, but it's completely different if we look at different marketing channels like Netflix, Hulu, and YouTube. But on a lot of marketing fronts with Facebook and social media, you're seeing this rise in user-generated content.
You gave me a great idea about getting on the roof now.
Sure. Yeah. Heck yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. But But you're right. To that point, I think people want raw and real. And I've noticed I gravitate towards people that are just really authentic and showing their true selves versus something that looks very generated for something different or very professional in that way. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just, I know, like, I gravitate towards that. And I see a lot of people gravitating towards things that are a little bit more raw and just showing up as themselves too, user generated.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, being so data driven, I react to data. There is a study that broke down how people reacted to an ad that started explicitly with a product, and then an ad that had the same product, but the first 5 seconds were different. It didn't start with the product. It started with just someone talking or someone's experience. And the product, the first one that just showcased the product right out the get-go, had a higher return on ad spend, but a much significantly lower click-through rate, so lower engagement, while that video that didn't start with the product had much more engagement, but lower return on ad spend. But what you can do with that lower return on ad spend video is that you can retarget, because those people who engage in your content, their information is like attached to that video now, and you can retarget them. So that video is actually cheaper across the board because you're paying for less conversion rates, but it's going to pay off in the longer run when you do the retargeting. So it's just things like that, understanding those components and understanding how people are going to react to certain ad campaigns. So if you have like an apparel company who focuses on sports, so I'll take Nike as an example, pretend Nike was not a billion-dollar global giant and that they were just starting out. What would be really beneficial for Nike on a statistic standpoint is if they're targeting women, women tend to react more positively to ad campaigns that show lifestyle when it comes to athletic apparel. So it would be a woman who's going out for a jog, going out for a swim, doing yoga, weightlifting, whatever it is. But then with men, men react better when there's a spokesperson, a man, another man, who they can sort of look up to in a sense, who has gone through that process. So it's like understanding those nuances and how you want to navigate through who your target audience is and what your product is. These are really key things. It's not as binary as doing this one thing and it's going to work really well for every other application.
Absolutely. It's testing it and understanding what is really going to make sense for the product, for the ad, all of those things. So I'm curious, because we were talking before, and this is a selfish question. But when it comes to marketing and lead generating too, because I know I run into a lot of like marketing companies or advertisement when it comes to solar and being able to advertise, what has been an issue you've seen when it comes to lead generation?
Okay. Yeah. So in my space, there are a lot of marketers who kind of see it as like a get rich quick scheme. I would say like the same group of people who saw drop shipping in crypto as these like get rich quick schemes have now navigated into the social media marketing agency space. And so they're really good at outreach. Like it's gotten to a point where the market is so saturated with good offers that anyone can create their offer. If I've never had an agency and I can tell you, if I came up to you and said, hey, I can get you 15 paid in full clients by the end of the month, and if I don't, I'll give you your money back. You're like, all right, I mean, kind of worth the risk. But then they have no follow-up. They've never been through that experience to actually produce those results. So they're so dialed in to the offer that they don't back up the results. So what you see in this space is you're seeing a saturation of these really great marketing offers, and then people bite and they work with these marketers who have zero experience. They're just these people who are just learning. And the best way to learn is to do application. But the people who suffer on that end are the small businesses who, you know, don't know any better. So that's the big, big, big problem with lead generation right now.
Yeah, no, I've seen it. I've heard it. I'm just like, oh, it's a tough one. But I'm curious, like going back to like your business, what was the drive? Because I know you said you wanted to start your business like after school, like going to school for engineering, and then just took a sharp left the different way. But what was that drive to actually start it and begin to build?
Okay, a few factors. I was working for a power company as an engineer, and I was very isolated. Engineering is supposed to be a very team-oriented career, but this specific job, it wasn't so. I was very isolated and doing things just by myself, and I missed really interacting with people because I'm a big believer in if there's a problem here, again, engineering brain, there's a problem, we can solve that problem. And I wanted to be a part of someone who is helping other small businesses grow. So I quickly saw that maybe video could be that route because I've been so interested in video for so long that I just kind of pursued it. So that was my biggest driver. I wanted to do something creative and do something on like a project side of working with people and solving those problems and taking them to that next space.
Oh, you're right. From what I know about engineering, which is very little, it is like a team environment, but being able to really help the businesses, especially with video, because it's something that, I mean, in the last few years, it's grown significantly, but now more than ever, I feel like businesses have to be on video to get traction. Correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. But I think there's just such a wave of being able to connect with people. I was talking about too, like that authenticity and the rawness of who the person is. They want every product that can be great, but it's who's behind that product or service at the same time. Because they're connecting with you. What you're even saying with the marketing, there's a lot of companies that have it dialed in of what to say, how to say it, but it's who takes that bite and goes, yes, I want to work with this person. And I think it goes back to personality and the branding behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think, go ahead.
No, I was just going to back you up. Branding is so key. It's so key. And that's what's really powerful with video. Just like, just do it. Just if you want to, if you have a business and you're scared about posting on social media, don't be scared. Just do it. It doesn't have to be perfect. You'll figure it out in the long run. Just do it. It's like going to the gym, right? They say the biggest thing about going to the gym, the biggest hurdle, right, is actually going to the gym. It's the same thing. Just do it. And it'll get easier and get better. Once it becomes habit, it's not even a problem.
No, that's very true. When I started video, it was rough, very rough. My Facebook lives, like I look back, I'm like, ooh, that was intense. But I think it really goes back to your point of just starting and doing anything we start can be uncomfortable. It's hard. But once we get the hang of it, we're like, oh yeah, I got this. Like when you even look back a month ago of your progress, if you go to the gym for the first time after like maybe taking a break and you're like, okay, I feel stronger. I feel healthier. Like, it's the internal feelings too that drive that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's so key to just get out of that discomfort and kind of relish in it because that's where the growth is. Nothing about this is easy. If anyone tells you these things are easy, growing your business and building your business is easy, they're delusional.
They're not in reality.
Yeah. I mean, we go to school for, you know, 4 or 5+ years for these advanced degrees. It takes 4 or 5 years to get an advanced business. You know, you might get lucky if you pay to accelerate and get a really advanced coach to get you to scale a little bit faster. But if you're starting from scratch and you know nothing, you don't have any resources, it's going to take you a long time on average.
Mm-hmm. No, those numbers are spot on. Spot on. Just even thinking of like all the people I've spoken to about their journeys, it's never an overnight thing. Like it takes years to really build a solid foundation as well and being able to do that. And there are a lot of roadblocks and obstacles. What you're saying, it's not easy. What have been some of the roadblocks that you've experienced on this journey?
Ooh, that's a good question. The big roadblocks for me, the biggest thing for me right now is actually figuring out what niche that I wanted to go out into. They say niches are in the riches, but I kind of have a different perspective on it. If I niche out and spit and work with one particular group of people, I can maximize the effectiveness. Because if I've seen one thing over and over and over again, then I know that that one thing can be really effective, or we know how to pivot. So figuring that part out has like solved so many other like minute problems, how to package my product, or what product do I need to build, or how do I pitch, or how do I sell, or how do I send the offer? Like, what are the pain points for my specific niche in my market that I'm breaking out into? I know very acutely the problems that they are having, and I know very acutely how to solve those specific problems. So being in a niche helps me overcome those hurdles.
Yeah, no, that's true, because there's so much content around niches and like, oh, you have to like narrow down, or oh no, you need to keep broad, or like I've heard so many mixed things about it, but I think everyone's unique in that regard of like what makes sense to them and like what problem you're solving. And I think that's what it goes down to. You might have not a very focused niche, but you know the problem is, and being able to go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say like figuring out what your biggest problem is, and then like writing it down and capturing that as like your big main objective, but then figuring out what your mini obstacles are on that way to that massive objective is going to really help you figure it out. So like for a lot of people with lead generation, running ads is like, it's the king, and it's the king for a reason. But it's also much more expensive than other ways. So the cheapest ways to go about lead generation, if you're starting like an online service, or even a brick and mortar, is to do some sort of variation of cold contacting, cold calling, cold emailing, cold DMing, cold knocking, door to door, which I'm sure is a little scary these days. But and the biggest hurdle with doing those things are like the mental roadblock, that mental thing about being rejected. But once you do it so many times, it becomes habit. It's back to that habit thing. So like if you're struggling to get one client, then you need to write down every step that you need to take to get to one client. That's the only thing that matters. Like if you don't have any clients, the only thing that matters is getting that client. Everything else should fall to the wayside, or everything else in retrospect really is a waste of time if it's not helping you get more clients. Because if you don't have clients, your business doesn't grow. So dial in to each step that you need to take to get that first client, and then replicate that, because then you have a system. And once you have a system, you have a business. And that's all it is in essence, really, when it comes down to businesses. That's just a really nice system that produces some sort of output.
Oh my gosh, 100%. And even when you were saying that, it just triggered my thought of, I do agree, systems are everything in order to be able to automate things and have more time and energy with the clients versus having to search for the clients and all those factors. But yep. I love that I've never heard it broke down like that, but like having your main issue and then the smaller issues, because when you said that, I just thought I always have my big goal and then I work backwards. Okay, what do I need to do daily? But that's what triggered the thought. I've never heard it in that capacity. And I love how you put it, because I think it clicked in my head just now. And I'm sure people listening too.
Thanks. I hope it helps at least one person.
I'm sure it will help me. That's a win-win. Good. No.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate you saying that, because I do think it's being able to be clear about, okay, what is the problem? What do you need to do in order to find out where the pitfalls are, where the gaps are, to close those gaps? And I love that you're able to do that even with the lead generation. You're right. Like some people have to do all the cold calling or doing separate little tiny steps to get to the bigger overall goal as well. Yep. But it comes down to having a system.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're going to be bad at it at first, like whatever it is, like even if it's like networking, you're going to be bad at it. But the more you do it and the more you understand like what the pain points are, it's like about understanding pain points, right? And overcoming those, you'll be able to overcome those and just get better.
Yeah, just takes practice. Practice makes progress.
Yes, of course.
And with everything that you have been able to accomplish, I'm curious, what are maybe one or two success stories, if you could choose, that you've had?
I'd say like one of my favorite ones, is the third video I ever did, like ever, like not learning to third video I ever did. I did it for a client. And it was a, what we call a brand message video. And these brand message videos basically just live on a landing page. And the idea is, if you have a lot of traffic coming into the landing page, a video is actually, is going to increase your conversion rate by at least 80%. That's industry average on a statistical level. We understand that a video will increase, right? Because the normal American website on average converts at like 2.9%. So if you have 100 people coming onto the website within a month, you're looking at around three clients or three appointments booked. So a video is going to increase that number by 80%. I had one client where we produced this video. It's the third video I ever made. And over the course of the year, it produced an additional $100,000, and it still sits on his website. So it's still actually producing more income for him. So, I mean, you're looking at like an insane ROI. because I mean, it's my third video. I was charging really cheap, but these are the numbers you got to look at. And that's what helps us understand what's going to be a success point and what's not going to be a success point.
Yeah. I'm learning so much. And I'm just like, yes, this is starting to make sense. I've heard it a few times, but now it's starting to make sense.
Okay, good. Thanks. I appreciate it.
When it comes to video, at least, but being able to understand where your energy is going, what is going to make sense. But it's amazing that it was only the third video ever and being able to see that return for the customer or the client as well.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing too. Like, you just have to understand that sometimes it doesn't have to be the most beautiful thing if it solves the problem. And that's in regards to like everything, like solar, right? Solar is a key thing, right? A lot of people think solar panels look terrible. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the solution that it provides is it pays in dividends. Yes. And then you can even say, like, you know, we don't have to put it on the roof. We can put it somewhere else. It's just like understanding that, like, it doesn't have to be like this pretty bow. Now, of course, if you're Gucci, it's different. But like, for most parts, like, it's just all about how you're going to solve that problem. So there's like a thing in creativity, like any sort of creative outlet. There's this rule of 80-20 where 80% of our time on that creative thing is spent on the last 20% to make it perfect. And you can increase that as much as you want. Like, it can quickly become 90-10, 95-5, 99-1. If you get really, really keyed in to that, and it causes more problems in the long run, because then you're just essentially creating this huge bottleneck. And then you're not actually providing the solution that you set out to accomplish in the first place.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point too, because, you know, a lot of times you'll see a product, the ad might not be great or whatever it is, but it's the quality behind it of like knowing what you're getting, regardless of the pretty pictures, the pretty videos, like those are all wonderful, but it goes back to like, what's the service, what's the product that you're going to get in exchange of that. And you're right there. I've had a customer once, I was like, this looks so ugly with the solar, and we built her a pergola in the back. But there's creative ways, just like what you're saying, the 80-20% or the 90-10, like whatever it is, but recognizing too, it's what is the focal point of what you're putting out there too. And that's like what I'm hearing as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen really bad ads absolutely kill it for people. Like bad ads, well, bad creative ads. If it's doing the thing, it's a good ad. But yeah, I mean, it's really funny. It's really interesting to see, for sure. Yeah.
It's crazy, like the data behind it, right? Like I feel like there's so many misconceptions of when you first start a business, for instance, and you're like, okay, well, the website has to look wonderful. It has to do this, has to be that. But recognizing, just like what you said too, it's what the product is, what you're putting out there, and focusing on what matters at the end of the
day. Right. Yeah. I think a lot of people, when they start off their businesses, they do get hung up, because I've been there. They get hung up like creating their websites. Like, it has to be perfect. If it doesn't identify with what I want it to identify with, it's not good enough. Or if it doesn't look beautiful enough, it's not good enough. And they get hung up on that and hung up on it. And then guess what? They have no leads. They have no clients. It doesn't matter. Your website, it just has to do like one thing: convey your message and either intake those leads or, you know, it's just a website. A lot of people, unless you're a brick and mortar, like a lot of people don't get converted based off of a website, in my experience.
Oh, I trust your experience based off of like lead generation and marketing. But with all of that being said, I'm curious, what are maybe two or three tips that you give entrepreneurs on this journey?
On an entrepreneurial journey, it kind of goes back to that. The biggest thing I can say, it goes back to like what I said earlier. If you have one thing that you need to do, if you have clients, let's see, you're getting a lot of leads, but your sales numbers aren't what it's supposed to be or where you want it to be, then maybe you have a sales problem, or maybe you have an intake problem where your standard operating procedures aren't good enough. Like, if that's the next step, if you're saying, hey, I get enough leads, I'm not closing enough, there is a problem between getting leads and closing. And then if you're not retaining the client after you close them, if that's your biggest problem, then your next thing that you need to focus on is, hey, how can I retain these clients after I serve them? It's all really like these subsystems that you need to figure out to make the whole system work. if you can dial in and focus on each part of that and systematize it and make those things kind of work, and you can hire out those things that you don't like to do, you're starting to build a business. Because if everything is reliant on what you do, you no longer have a business. It's just you providing a service. So it really depends on what you want to do. In my niche is travel agents. A lot of agents, they do travel on the side or as a retirement gig because they just like to travel and they have a lot of friends and they can just sell the travel to them. They have zero desire to scale their entrepreneurial journey to become a business. They're just looking as like a side gig. So those people, it's like, okay, you're not trying to build a business or grow a business. You're just trying to, you know, pursue a passion. But if your passion is growing and scaling your business, then you need to look at those key things and understand where you're falling short, because there are so many solutions out there to figure out each step. I mean, it's going to require money to some aspect or a lot of education on your part, but it can be done. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's
the best thing I can say. That's the only thing.
Yeah,
I can
really
say.
Like mic drop. It's absolutely what you're saying when it comes to the fact that people, if they're looking at it as like it's a side hustle, it's a side business, or just a service essentially, versus like an actual business, but all the work that goes and is entailed of being able to grow and scale a business, and not everyone wants to, and that's totally fine,
totally
because
fine.
It's not for everybody. Mm-hmm. But being able to recognize too when it's time to invest, when it's time to delegate. And I think too, it comes back to like everything that you're doing of video and marketing. I think that's a huge part of a business. If you don't have sales, you don't have a business. Point blank.
Point blank. It's all that matters, really.
It's absolutely true. And that's the hard part, I think, too, on the journey. There, it looks glamorized from like the outside, but then when you're in the thick of it, it really sets you apart of, okay, I'm going to continue to move forward with this. I'm going to have the systems. I'm going to invest. I'm going to find these side parts that need to be delegated and outsourced because I can't do everything. Yes, yeah. You can, but it's going to take you longer. Just like what you were talking about earlier too. It's being able to find your niche and be able to go full force and have people come in that are going to help you and grow it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Mm-hmm. Great recap.
No, I so appreciate you being here today, Will. But before anything, where can people find you? Use your services. We're going to link everything below.
Yeah, of course. So I haven't changed my website since I've niched out, because again, it doesn't really matter. But if you want to contact me, you can find me at weareapexcreatives.com. But more importantly, if you are interested in podcasts, you're listening to her, I'm sure you are. She's got a great one. We have a podcast, my friend and I, with experienced travel agents. So it's called The Travel Agents. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, all those good things. But if you're interested in video marketing, you can even reach out to me there. I mean, I'm on both profiles. So yeah. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Absolutely. Well, it's been such a pleasure, and definitely make sure you check out his podcast and everything he has going on. Definitely a wealth of knowledge and something that's super important for business, at least in my opinion.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. But thank you again for coming on. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was your biggest takeaway from Will today? And I'm sure he would love to see that comment, and we'll see you on the next episode.